And I came to tell somebody, you cannot live effectively for Christ. You can't witness effectively. You can't have the character change and the inner transformation that you need unless the Holy Spirit is not only in your life, but you have allowed Him to fill your life. We need the Holy Spirit like never before.
If you are a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit is already in you. But has the Holy Spirit filled you? Hello and thanks for being here for this Monday edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. Wherever you are and however you may be listening, thanks for making this part of your day. When you come to faith in Christ, God gives you a new purpose, and in order to accomplish it, you'll need a new power. Today, Pastor Paul explains what this new power is all about and how you can get it. Visit PastorPaul.net to hear any recent message on demand. That's PastorPaul.net. And be sure to stay with us after today's message when Pastor Paul joins me from his studio in California. But first, let's join him for today's message, Tap into God's Power.
Today on the church calendar worldwide is Pentecost Sunday. You always know it's Pentecost Sunday because Pentecost took place 7 full weeks after the Lord's resurrection. And so this is 7 weeks since Easter and Pentecost Sunday. And we want to celebrate that. And I want to take this opportunity to talk to you about the importance of Pentecost. I've entitled this Tap into God's Power. Tap into God's Power. And I want you to go with me first to Isaiah 61. I just want to look at the first several words of verse 1, and then we'll turn our attention to Acts chapter 2. So let's start at Isaiah 61 and look at the first several words. Here's what you'll find. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. We'll pause right there. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, Acts chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll skip to verse 12 and read a few verses thereafter. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, says this: When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And even on men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." We'll conclude our reading right there. I want us to talk about the importance of tapping into God's power for a very simple yet very profound reason. And that is that when Jesus was about to leave the earth, he had accomplished the work on Calvary. We saw him declare on the cross, "It is finished. I came to do what I was sent to do. I have sacrificed for the sins of mankind. That work is done. Then we know from early church history and from the pages of the Bible that Jesus spent an additional 40 days on the earth after his resurrection, showing himself to be alive through many infallible proofs. But when he was getting ready to go back to heaven, Jesus gave a very specific instruction to his followers. He said, go to Jerusalem and stay there. Wait to hear from me. I'm going to send you the promise, and you're going to need that in order to continue on in this world and do the things I've called you to do. Sadly, there are a lot of folks today who think getting saved is just a matter of accepting Christ as your Savior, and then I'm set to go. That's not what Jesus declared to his disciples. He said, you need to go to Jerusalem and wait till you get some power. Because if you're going to be in this world without my physical presence, you're going to need me in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I came to tell somebody, and I'm sure many of you already know this, that you cannot live effectively for Christ. You can't witness effectively. You can't have the character change and the inner transformation that you need unless the Holy Spirit is not only in your life, but you have allowed him to fill your life. We need the Holy Spirit like never before. Days have come when if you don't have the power of God active in your life, you're going to be in trouble. Because these are days where we need the fire and the wind of the Holy Spirit, just like they experienced on the day of Pentecost. You know why that's all the more important? Because we not only live in the last days, which began at the day of Pentecost, we live in the last of the last days. What do you mean by that? Well, Peter declared on Pentecost, we just read it, that these are the last days. In the last days, Joel prophesied, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So if the last days started at Pentecost, which is the birthday of the church, then here we are, over 2,000 years later, if those began the last days, we are in the last of the last days. Now, I'm not a false prophet. I'm not here to predict and try to tell you the day Jesus is coming. Because the Bible is clear. No man knows the day or the hour. I don't care who they are, how spooky they think they are, or how good at biblical interpretation they are. We've all seen the Harold Camping types over the decades who try to predict the day of the Lord's return. You can't do that. Nobody knows. But we do know that we're in the last days. Why? Because the Bible gives us signs. These signs are going to mirror the end days. And if you check the signs, we are in them right now. So we don't know the day or the hour, but we know he'll be here and he's coming sooner than many of us think. His coming is soon. Some of you have heard me tell the story of the little boy who was in his grandfather's clock shop. Some of you have heard that story, but others haven't. Plus, I want to hear it again, so let me tell it real quick. Little boy was in his grandfather's clock shop. His grandfather did the clocks that chime according to the hour. And so the little boy had actually learned how to count from 1 to 12 by listening to his grandfather's clocks. And he knew how to count from 1 to 12. And so one day his grandfather thought he'd trick him. And he set one of the clocks to chime 13 times. And he said, now listen, and after you hear this chime, tell me what time it is. Little boy listened, and he heard 1, 2, 3, all the way up. And after 12, instead of it stopping like it normally did, it chimed one more time, 13 chimes. And his grandfather said, all right, now what time is it? Little boy said, I don't know, but it's later than it's ever been before. Let me tell you something. That's where we are in terms of the history of the world. I don't know what time it is, but according to the word of God, it is later than it's ever been before. And if we ever needed the power of the Holy Spirit, we need it right now. We got to have God's power active in our lives. How is it that the church started off on the day of Pentecost, instantly winning 3,000 people to Christ? That wasn't because of human ingenuity. That was because of divine power. It was because of what God did on Pentecost. that shook the world and showed people Jesus is exactly who he said he was, and we need to accept him. That's why Peter was able to preach. In fact, Peter preached so long on Pentecost, we get some of the text there in Acts chapter 2. And after a while, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, after a while, Luke stops giving us the points that Peter made in his sermon. And if you notice, he'll say, with many other words did he speak. Peter, like me, he preached so long, Luke was like, I'm not writing all this down. With many other words did he speak. Let me tell you something. Now, this is the same Peter who, remember before Jesus was crucified? Peter had a power failure. Peter bragged, you know I'm going to be with you, Jesus, till the end. I don't know why you pick some of these other disciples, because some of them don't know how to stand with you when stuff gets thick. But you did one thing right. You picked me. Because I'm going to be with you. Jesus looked at him and said, Simon, Simon. He had to call him twice because he's probably still bragging after the first Simon. Simon, Simon. Then he said, Satan hath demanded to shake you up, to sift you as wheat. Jesus told him, but I prayed for you. And then he said, and when you are converted, strengthen the brothers. What does that mean? Jesus had chosen him as a disciple, but he said, this boy going to have a power failure. He's going to deny me three times. But that power failure is going to lead to his conversion. Do you know getting saved is not the only conversion you need? Sometimes you need a conversion of your mind when you realize you don't have the power to do what you want to do. That's what happened to Peter. He was already a follower, but he got converted because he stopped depending on himself. Some of you will get better when you quit depending on you and start depending on God.
We'll be right back with more of today's Destined for Victory message from Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. Listen to the broadcast on demand at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net, where you'll also find a host of great resources at our online store. Do you want to carry out God's will for you on earth? Do you want to be a godly husband or wife, a godly parent, a person who ministers effectively to others? If so, you can't rely on your own strength. Here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's Destined for Victory message. Tap into God's power.
And the Lord transformed Peter. He denied Jesus three times, just like Jesus promised he would. In fact, the third time he denied him, he wanted to make sure people didn't think he was a follower of Christ. So the Bible says he swore. You know what that means? That don't mean he was in a courtroom with his hand on a Bible. That means he was blankety blank. Y'all need to get out of my blankety blank faith. Come on, somebody. He said, I'm going to prove to them I'm not a follower of Christ. Y'all need to get up off of me. I'm a blankety blank. Yo. Why? Because he had a power failure. And let me tell you something. If you don't learn to tap into God's power just when you need it, you're going to have a power failure. You don't have the ability to stand up for Christ the way you need to. You don't have the ability to minister with effectiveness the way you need to. You don't have the ability to have your character transformed and your life changed unless the Holy Spirit in you does a mighty work. And so we need to experience God's power. That's how 3,000 got saved on Pentecost. Because the early church was dynamic and fruitful, not because of its human wit, but because of its heavenly wind. It was fruitful and dynamic, not because of programs, but because of power. Not because of forms of godliness, but because of the fire of God. And we live in days, brothers and sisters, where we've got to tap into the power all over again. You got to understand that it's not about one infilling, one baptism. Oh, I remember in 1983. That's great. But do you know you've been leaking since 1983? Quit bragging about the one time God came into your life in a powerful way. And you were filled and my God, you should have been there. And I was just, yeah, that's great. But fuel, just look at your car. You never went to the gas station so good that you haven't needed another filling. I don't care how much they fill it up to the tank. Make sure after it stops, keep on squeezing some more in there. When you get through with all of that, it's only a matter of time, you're going to need a new filling. Well, guess what, people of God? I appreciate that time the Holy Spirit came into your life in a powerful way. But guess what? You've been using that spiritual fuel. And it's time for you to go back before God and say, I need a fresh infilling. I need some power. When your relatives get through with you, when your job get through with you, when your neighborhood get through with you, when your kids get through with you, I need a fresh infilling. Lord, if you don't feel me, I'm going to hurt somebody. Now listen, I want you to revisit chapter 2 with me, and let's just begin to look at what happened on that original day of Pentecost so we can get a sense of how important some things are for us to walk in the Spirit today. Look at verse 1 of Acts 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Pause right there. Because one of the challenges we have in today's church world is we don't get in the same place, because we have all kind of denominations, all kind of worship centers, all that. Nothing wrong with that. Logistically, it's not possible for us to worship together with other brothers and sisters in our cities. We don't have facilities where we can do that. And so I get it. We don't all get to be in one place. But look at what they did. Not only were they in one place, they were in one accord. Now, we can learn to walk in one accord with folk even when we don't get to be in the same room with them. And I came to tell you, one of the things that invited the presence and power of the Holy Spirit into that upper room that day was that they were on one accord. Brothers and sisters, it is time for us in the body of Christ to stop fighting with people we need to war with. We need to war together against the wiles of the devil. We need everybody in the family of God. We don't have the luxury of fighting each other because we have an enemy out there that we really got to fight. But what do? Instead of getting on one accord, we separate and fall out over silly stuff. Say amen when you can. I'm going to preach. Like, y'all know my style. I got my own built-in amen. So when you drop out, I'm encouraging myself the whole time. Go ahead, Doc. Preach on. You can drop out when you have to drop out. But we need to stop fighting one another. Look at how we divide. We got all these denominations. Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopal, Church of God in Christ, Assemblies of God, Church of Disciples, Church of the Got It Going On in Jesus' Name. Everybody got all their little bunches and little cliques. Nothing wrong with being in a particular denomination. All right, that's fine. Denominations, by the way, were not God's idea. They were man's idea. When you read your Bible, it talks about one church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Not my churches. I will build my church. And so while denominations was man's idea and not a good one, we have to live with it because that's the way we're separated now. But you need to decide today, I need so much power, I'm going to be like those in the upper room. I'm going to walk in fellowship with everybody who names the name of Christ and who believes essential Christian doctrine. Why? Because I might need what they have. I might need their gifts. I might need their resources. I've met some wealthy Christians. I don't care what church they're about. They want to sow into my ministry. I know that's God. You got to understand something. It's time for us to stop fighting one another. We are not each other's enemy. We're on the same team. Why would you fight the members of your own team? We got to learn how to coordinate our resources and pray for power so that God will use us to change this world for Jesus Christ. So we got all this division, and we got to learn that God is not in division. We've got to learn to walk in unity. You can have differences of opinions on secondary matters, but unity requires that on essential matters, we get on the same page. And we need to practice essential Christian unity. We need to walk with others about the essentials. If you believe that Jesus died for our sins, if you believe essential Christian doctrine, I can fellowship with you no matter what denomination you're a part of. I don't need you to see it the way I see it in all of the matters of faith. Unity doesn't require uniformity. If it did, nobody would be married. Come on, married folk. When the last time you wanted everything your spouse wanted exactly the same way they want it? Doesn't happen. Men and women don't even want the same temperature in the same room. Oh, come on. Y'all stop acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. We don't even want the same temperature. And especially when these sisters start going through these various seasons, you know what we brothers have to learn to do? You have to learn to accept what she needs in that room and like it. Oh, that's what you walk in. And what you need to learn to get good at is, okay, baby. Oh, that's how to walk in unity. Okay, baby, we'll get a whole lot of stuff done. Some of y'all still young in your marriage and you dumb and you don't know. And you still fighting dumb battles in the house, just tearing stuff up over the most minor stuff. I know when you seasoned and settled in your ministry, when you get down to, okay, baby. Now, that's a smart man right there. He know how to get some stuff done. Because time you get through fighting these battles, see, you can win a battle, but you'll mess around and lose the war. Y'all got to learn how to do that. You can't win everything. Give it up, brother. In Jesus' name, give it up. All right, baby, that's good. That'll work right there. So you can get some more important things done.
Thanks so much for being here for today's Destined for Victory message, Tap into God's Power. If you missed any of today's message or want to listen to all of Pastor Paul's recent messages, visit us online at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. And I'm pleased to have Pastor Paul join me now to talk about his new full-length book, Lessons from the Vineyard. Pastor, here we are at the beginning of a new year, 2022, and this end of this year is a great time when our friends can help us finish financially strong. Tell me about this book, Lessons from the Vineyard, that we're offering to our listeners who can give a generous gift.
I'm happy to be able to offer this particular resource because it allows you to understand that growing in the area of character is what makes us people whose lives are really making a difference for both time and for eternity. I don't have to tell you that we have a world that is unconvinced about the reality of Jesus, the reality of the need for salvation and things like that. The best way we can witness these days is not only with our words, but with our lives. And if we will become people who have ripe fruit of the Spirit in operation in us, if we are loving, joyful, have the peace that passes understanding, have temperance and patience and all of those things that are the fruit of the Spirit, if we are mature in those areas, I think that helps us be much better witnesses than if all we're doing is yapping. The world really isn't impressed that much with what we have to say anymore. They'll be more impressed by the way we live out our faith. And so this book is written with the hope and prayer that it'll help each of us really grow and mature in the area of developing Christian godly character. That's what it's all about. At the end of the day, it's not what we say, but it's how we live that's going to impress the world around us.
I'm reminded of how so many people responded to Jesus when he lived on earth, not merely because of his teachings, but because of the way he lived to serve all those around him. Well, again, this brand new book from Pastor Paul is called Lessons from the Vineyard, and it's our gift to you for your generous donation of $25 or more to Destined for Victory. Call 855-339-5500 or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Again, that address is Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
We got to learn to stop persecuting people. You can use the watermelon principle. That's what I call it. What's that? Eat the fruit, spit out the seeds.
That's tomorrow when Pastor Paul Shepherd shares his message, Tap into God's Power. Until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.